on your racing leader, Sky Sports Radio.
Now the green light's switched on. Ready.
With the latest news, interviews and tips from kennels and courses around the country.
Fernando Bale came out of the machine, Hammond.
Welcome to Going Greyhound.
And at 26 to 11, coming in front of the microphone, here's Hammond 2 is Tim Newbold. Morning, Tim.
Yeah, good morning, Sean. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Going Greyhounds for this Monday, the 14th of August. I'm off the interchange bench. Disco Dave Carlson will be back in the chair next Monday from his world trip. And we've got a pretty big show planned, Sean. We're going to catch up with the Australian Greyhound Racing Association's media man, Neil Brown. He'll update on the current happenings on the Nationals, with finals being run all around the country over the past week. Young Gun Chaser Beacon Street won the New South Wales sprint final on Saturday night. We'll chat to his co-trainer, Alan Proctor. The Queensland finals will be held on Thursday night at Albion Park, and trainer Tony Brett will join us. He's qualified four runners for the sprint final up in Brisbane. And Brad Adam from the Richmond Greyhound Racing Club will come on and update on the Richmond Puppy Auction, which is on again this year in November. There's been a few changes to the nominations. Nominations are open, and Brad will fill us in on all of the details regarding the Richmond Puppy Auction, which will be held in late November. But first cab off the rank is my old mate from Melbourne, Agra Media man and journo Neil Brown. Brownie, welcome to Going Greyhounds.
Yeah, great to be on, Tim. Terrific to talk to you, mate.
Now, we're smack bang in the middle of the national championships, and for those who may be not fully aware of how it all works, just elaborate how we arrive at the finals, which this year will be held in Brisbane in a couple of weeks' time.
Well, I suppose it's changed over the years. Early on, Tim, they used to have all the greyhounds come to the state where the final was and go run around in semi-finals, but in most recent times, certainly for the last 25 or 30 years, we've had state heats and finals, and we've arrived at a final field with the host state being the last to run their heats. But since 2008, when Agra passed the wild card, when the Northern Territory couldn't provide a runner any longer into the sprint, and New South Wales and Victoria would alternate the spare number eight spot and have a second runner. But the wild card's been very innovative and created a lot of interest, and I think it's been quite successful. Certainly the first wild card was Jarvis Bale over at Cannington. In the very first year we had it, got up and won the state distance final. So it was on its way then, the wild card, but has a few ramifications, doesn't it, Tim? And we finally come up with the two greyhounds that are usually quite deserving to be there, and certainly none too more deserving than Bewildering and Fanta Bale, which really sparkle the big finals up, won't they?
Sure, well, so 2008 it was introduced.
Yeah, we had a vote at Agra. It was introduced by the Brisbane Club, I think the brainchild of Luke Gatehouse. And they pushed it for a couple of years. They weren't getting anywhere. Very parochially, the two states, New South Wales and Victoria, didn't see much advantage in losing that extra spot. And I was at loggerheads with my own club at Sandown, till I thought it was a great idea, and that they had to toe the party line. But Bill Magnifas, a very, very highly respected administrator in New South Wales, I think surprised everyone when he voted in favour of it to get it over the line. And, yeah, I think Bill made the right decision for all concerned, and I don't think anybody begrudges the fact that it's been a terrific innovation to the championships.
Yeah, no doubt in the world it has been a great innovation. Now, we have had finals run in all bar Queensland. The sprint final at the moment, how does it stand? Who's made the sprint final?
We've got Aston DB. Very impressive first tonight, wasn't he? 29.17, he got a big motor. Once he got to the front, he was hard to run down. But Wilbering takes the wild card. Two quality greyhounds there. Pretty impressed with young Beckham Street. Looks a nice dog, doesn't he, Tim? Won well in terrific hands of Christine and Alan Proctor. Won't lack anything there. Max Prophet, he's going to represent the West. 29.79 winner on Saturday night. He's a nice type. Good to see young trainer in Corey White provide the winner there. And we looked at Tassie. We had the winner there was Gold Lenny at about a $50 chance. Bit of a boil over there. Graham had won four races at Launceston. And looking at the sprint, pretty good race coming up in the final in Queensland. We're going to get a pretty good rep, a couple of reps from the home state, aren't we, there? It's an interesting race, quite a few chances.
Yeah, in the distance final, Burn won down and will represent Victoria, but Fanta Bale's got the wild card. Who else has made it through? Abby Ripper was brilliant, winning the New South Wales final on Saturday night, from Michael Eberan leading all of the way, which was a major, major surprise, her finding the lead on settling down. Who else has got through in the distance?
Well, Ramifications won the West Australian distance final. He's a high-quality greyhound, reigning WA Greyhound of the Year. He's a track record holder at Kennington. He got through. I know Les Blaine, the chairman of the Brisbane Greyhound Racing Club, be delighted that his greyhound, Beckham, Bogey Beckham, for Ben Rawlings, will qualify for South Australia. And so it'll take its place in the final and give Les something to cheer for over there. We missed out the sprinter in South Australia, didn't we? On Fire, Cameron Butcher, two sprint finalists in a row for Cameron, because he won it with Worm Burner. But Bogey Beckham going around in the distance for South Australia. And, of course, in Tasmania, we had a win to Shimmer Sun, race to Victorian interest. Done all of his racing in Tasmania, but is certainly owned in Victorian interest there. The distance final looks as though it's between outside pass. Alapino was a pretty good run. Thought Big Easy Red was a little disappointing there on Thursday night, but he could rally again. He made the final of the distance final last year. So good race up there in Queensland to get their two reps through. So both interesting races so far. We'll have a market out, no doubt. They're pretty quickly after the box draw on Friday morning, which will be held at the hotel there, the Sheraton Hotel in Brisbane. I think about 11 o'clock, Tim, the two box draws for the national finals will be done Friday morning.
Well, tab.com.au will have a market out on both of the races not too long after that. Now, the distance finals, Brownie, around the country, they probably lack numbers this year. Was that a little concern?
Oh, I think it's always a concern. Distance racing, as we know, Tim, has struggled number-wise for quite a few years now. I think what we've had to see happen in greyhound racing over the past couple of years has meant numbers are pretty well down across the board, and distance racing would suffer even more because of that. But high-quality sprinters stay up, and the quality of the distance dogs that we did get in were the best in the States. I think it's a concern. I think it's a concern for greyhound racing going forward, Tim, on a number of areas, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. Now, it's a unique series. It has been won by some of the greatest of all time in the sport. What are some of the champions you've seen and researched which are at the top of the tree for you, Brownie?
Oh, gee, I've seen a number. I go right back to Princess Kerry. I remember a wonderful chaser from Warrnambool for Digger Scahill getting home at Sandown Park in about 1970 or something. I'm throwing back a bit now, Tim, but, I can never forget Rapid Journey over in Perth. That 98 was a fabulous win. There was a greyhound of Alan Pringle's that got home in Sydney over the distance. Was a terrific win, but some of the great greyhounds, Winifred Bale and Fast Sapphire, terrific dogs. Tim Lee, he was just a superstar, nearly unbeatable at Olympic Park. He won the championship there in about 74. We've just had some outstanding greyhounds. Of course, for a long, long period of time, it was the number one greyhound race in the country. It paid the most prize money. In 1990, at the height of its sponsorship with Arnott Harper, they paid $85,000 to the winner. I think the Easter Eggs first year was only worth $80,000 to the winner then. If we put it in equivalent dollars to today, I worked it out to be about $170,000-$180,000. So it was a pretty big deal. It certainly stayed that number one race for a long period of time. So, yeah, look, it's been a wonderful race, and I just think the uniqueness of it and the parochialism that goes with it, and most trainers really like to represent their state in some respect, don't they, Tim? And, you know, this is no different. They just love to win the race and fly the colours of the state. So having been to a few, I think this one might be 20 consecutive for me going to Brisbane next week. Yeah, it's terrific to get around with the people from the other states and friendships that you've made over the years. And it's always a very enjoyable time from my perspective to be at the championships.
I'm sure it'll be a wonderful week in Brisbane kicking off next week. Well, the finals in Brisbane the Queensland sprint and distance finals will be held on Thursday night. That'll be the final pieces to the Nationals puzzle. And then Friday, the 25th of August, will be the big final night. Brownie, enjoy the week up in Brisbane for Nationals week, and thanks for coming on Going Greyhounds.
Always a pleasure, Tim. I can recall a couple of social occasions where you've been in attendance. We've had a good time, haven't we?
Too good.
Good on you, Tim. Thanks, mate.
Ta-da, Brownie. Yeah, got to try and remember those. Now, on Saturday night at Wentworth Park in Sydney, the New South Wales finals were held, and Ebby Ripper for Michael Eberam won the distance, and a young dog by the name of Beacon Street won the sprint final for Christine and Al Proctor. And joining us on the line now is Al Proctor. Good morning, Al.
G'day, Tim. How are you going?
Really well. Now, I spoke to Christine yesterday afternoon. She was on cloud nine after winning the big final in New South Wales. Now, what, 30-odd hours later, how are you feeling?
Yeah, that's the same way. She said she's still dreaming, you know. We can't get over it. And that's a big kick for a young dog. And to go to Queensland and represent the state, no, it's terrific, Tim.
Now, Beacon Street, he's only a baby. He doesn't turn two until next month. He showed on Saturday night he can mix it with more seasoned campaigners and a few real hardheads in that big final on Saturday night. He was great. He punched up at the first turn, he held second position, and then he was too strong at the end.
Yeah, he missed a twister, a bit of a bump on the first corner, a bit of a shoulder, and it put Mr. Twister off stride. But, yeah, he's only a young dog, and he's still kind of puppy. You know, he races like a mature dog, but in himself, you know, I think another 6 months, there'll be a big difference.
He was only moderately away, but when he does hit the ground, he really, really gets hiking. And and then when he does get into full stride, he knuckles down at the end. He seems to, if he can mend his box manners, I don't know what he'll run around Wentworth Park. I think he's a 29.6, maybe 29.7 dog around the track if he does begin on terms.
Yeah, well, Tim, he's a 36-kilo dog. He's a big dog, young, and it took Bessie Bill 112 starts to jump in front, so I can't wait for the day to see him jump in front.
he was just lining up for start number 14 on Saturday night. Has he surprised how quickly he has really come on?
He has, Tim. He's just one of those dogs who just keeps finding every time you put him down, and I reckon they're the best dogs, you know, and he's just improved every time he finds something, and he just amazes me.
By Beckham Bale out of Sir Isia Street, he's owned by the Meredith family. Now, they raced his mum. How did he find his way into your kennels?
He rang me up one day. He said, he just must have found my phone number. He said, I might have another Bessie Boo for you.
I bet your ears pricked up.
Yeah, that's a big rap, you know. And but I was always a rap for the mother. When she was going around Richmond and Wentworth Park, she had a big mo to the mother.
Yeah,
and I thought, you know, we had a Beckham Bale, and I reckon one day down the line this dog will go over the distance. He's so so easy in his action, and he pulls up like as a young dog. I was putting him around Richmond 5:35, and that's a hard run, and he's just pulling up unbelievable. So I think one day he might go over the longer distance like the mother.
Did he show from an early age that he had the ability to get to where he has in such a short period?
No, Tim. He's just surprised me. You know. Look, Chris said, you know, why don't we give him a go at the Nationals? It's only one run. If he goes no good, it's only just, you know, one run. And, you know, I thought, we're throwing him into the deep end. But he ran a good race at, when you run 30 and 47 at Richmond, not many dogs go much better. So we thought we might as well give him a go.
Yeah, he had his first 8 runs at Richmond, and he did look pretty handy. And then he came out and he went 30 and 50, I think, from memory, and then 30 and 47, which you just mentioned. And it was at that time you thought, well, we might have a crack at the group races, hey?
Yeah, that's when he, you know, those 2 runs in a row. Why I put him to Richmond, because he is so strong and it's a bigger track. You know, Richmond, the boxes are off the track where Wentworth Park, like even the one box, you virtually come out and hit the running rail, you know. And I was a bit worried on Saturday night that they can smother you up very quickly at Wentworth Park. I mean, if you don't begin, they're straight across on you.
Yeah, he had a wide runner in the two, which did give him a bit of room to move. But, geez, he just showed great he's a tenacious chaser. And when he drove hard, as you said earlier on, he shouldered Mr. Twister out of the way at the first turn. And he's a greyhound who's won $280,000 in prize money. He's won a Group 1. And this guy who's was lining up at start number 14, to do that to a greyhound who's a seasoned campaigner, it was a big, big effort. Now, between now and the final on Friday week, what are your plans? Do you go up and trial? Do you stay up there for a week? How do you handle all of that?
Tim, no, I'll be leaving probably about 5 o'clock Thursday morning. I'll be trialing and I'll be driving straight back home. I might stop a couple of hours and have a sleep, but I'd rather I'm at home. I think all the Victorians, that's what they do, drive straight up on the day. They settle better at home. If you put them into another kennel, a different surrounding, you know, I find that's the best way for him.
And you think you'd do that for final week as well?
Yeah, Tim, yeah. Hopefully, you know, but we're just praying for an inside box draw.
Now, you and Christine know what it's like to run in the Nationals. Of course, yeah. Bessie Boom made it in 2014 and then again in 2015.
Yeah, and this dog, even some of the owners of Bessie Boo say, they just remind him so much of Bessie Boo. His temperament, his just his demeanour, everything he does, and a good chaser. Like, you know, I mean, I know there's a lot of old people in ground racing. They said to me, Bessie Boo's one of the best dogs they've seen. Not the fastest dog, but just the most consistent, you know. But this dog's going as good as him, you know, whether he can keep going. Like, Bessie Boo was just a great chaser, sound, 159 starts. Look, he never, ever put one bad run in until the last run he tore a back muscle, you know, so... But this dog's the same. I think he's been in place once. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a... He was retired, was it late last year? Bessie Boo?
Late last year.
How's retirement?
December. And if he would have raced in January, I think it might have been 4 consecutive years he raced.
Yeah, he was a remarkable greyhound. How's he handling retirement?
Yeah, terrific, mate. Tim, I put him to a bitch of mine 3 weeks ago. I just hope she falls in pup, and I just can't wait to rear those pups, you know, because he was just an unbelievable animal. Like this animal, they're just, I don't know, they're just the Beckham Bales, they're just beautiful temperament, beautiful cut of a dog, and strong.
Is it the temperament which really does make a real good dog?
Yeah, Tim, yeah. You get an over anxious dog or a nervous dog. The dogs would just do it, Tim. You know, I mean, I'd run my dogs up the straight with a quad boy, and the whole kennel would go berserk, and Bessie Boo would just lie there, same as this dog. Don't jump around, don't bark. That's what makes a good dog.
Yeah, well, our you, Christine, and Beacon Street will have the entire state here in New South Wales cheering hard and loud come Friday, August 25. We wish you all the very best and hope you bring home the trophy.
I appreciate it, Tim. Thanks very much.
Al Proctor there, the co-trainer of Beacon Street, who will represent New South Wales in the National Sprint Final at Albion Park in Queensland in a little over around 10 days from now. Now, from Londonderry in Western Sydney to Queensland now, and Tony Brett, one of the country's leading conditioners, is joining us on the line. Morning, Tony.
Morning, Timmy. How are you, mate?
Really well. Well, it wouldn't be a feature race at Albion Park if Tony Brett didn't have a runner. You don't have one in the Queensland Sprint Final. You have 4 lining up. You must be pretty happy with that feat, Tone.
Yeah, mate, really chuffed. They're just, mate, these sort of races are just having the having the dog ready at the right time and things just falling into place. And mate, yeah, a couple have come back from injuries and have just come to hand nicely. So it's given us the numbers. I hope that shows in the results on Thursday night.
Now we'll start with the one of your heat winners, Jury. He's come up with box number one. He came out running. He led all of the way in 29.88. A PB at the track. Now, that was only his second run back from a break. You would have been thrilled.
Yeah, mate, I'm over the moon with him. And he's probably well, not so much a surprise backer, but he's probably the dog that has been a bit understated. Mate, he showed enormous potential as a youngster, and he won a Young Guns up here, and he made an Ipswich Cup, I think, at about his fifth start, where he got beaten by 30 Torques. And he tore a hip support in the Queensland Derby heats up here a few months back. And, mate, so we've just taken him along steady. And I was umming and ahhing. He wasn't really ready for a 500, but he is a pretty naturally sort of strong dog. So I decided to put him in him, and mate, he comes through that amazingly. He was entitled to get run down with those two dogs chasing him last week, and he just kept on kicking, and he's come up with the red in the final, and mate, yeah, he's probably the underdog.
Yeah, on the home turn, he looked a bit vulnerable, but he really dug in when it mattered. He's does strip fitter. Can he go any quicker?
Yeah, mate, he probably can. Like you said, of the four I've got in there, it's, mate, time-wise on the clock, probably him and 30 Talks are the two dogs who I think they can get down to probably into the 80s and that sort of, they can run those sort of really special times. So he can, and he's drawn nice. And like I said, he's probably the dog with the most improvement in him out of my four. So I couldn't be happier with him.
Now, the other heat winner, Opal Nero, went a little bit quicker. He ran 29.94, leading throughout. A couple of trips away in recent times to Richmond and the Meadows for the maturity. Has it been the making of this dog?
No, mate, he's always shown ability. He's just if you watch him go around Albion Park, you'll wonder how he even wins a race there, mate. He's probably one of the most awkwardest galloping dogs I've had in training. He doesn't look anything pretty when he gallops, and he hangs off the track, and you can see he wants to get on the rail, but he sort of just can't get around there. He's a big gangly dog, and yet when I took him to the Meadows, he actually handled the Meadows really nicely. And whether that's because of the, I put it down to maybe the new hoop arm down there. It hangs a long way out into the track, and that's where he tends to race. So I don't know whether that sort of thing, but he raced a lot nicer and a lot cleaner in his three runs at the Meadows than he ever has at Albion Park. And he's got oodles of ability, and for sure the travelling with him has toughened him up, and he's probably a little bit stronger at the end of his races these days than he was early on in his preparation. So, but mate, his acceleration is probably as good as I've got in the kennel. Like that first sort of 300 metres, he can run the sections which you sort of need to lead these races.
Now, Jury's currently $3.70 with tab.com.au, 30 Talks $4, Opal Nera $3.80, and the fourth of yours, Split Image, is currently $6. Now, she's drawn box number five. Now, 30 Talks, he's $4. He's one of the kennel big names, and rightly so. He won the Richmond Riches last year. Then he won the Brisbane Cup late last year. He then went to the Meadows for the Silver Chief, and well, he had the race shot to bits, and he broke down badly down the back straight. Now, he's been in the paddock for quite some time. That was only his second run back, Tony, on Thursday night. You happy how he's come back?
Yeah, I am, Timmy. He's the injury itself to the back muscle, it feels great, and he's pulling up really nice on it. And, mate, it's just tough on these type of dogs. Like you said, he's no fifth grader, and I can't sort of bring him back and find a couple of nice little easy runs in sort of thing and lead him up to it. He's come back, and he had one run on a Monday and just got totally cleaned up out of the boxes. And then all of a sudden you're back up running against dogs that are running 29.80s and 90s. So it's sort of, it's not an easy return. And mate, his run on Thursday night, while it was good, he broke 30 seconds. I couldn't be happier with that. But he just looked like he just needed to find his feet again, and it may take him a few runs, and whether that's this week or in the next few weeks, I think he's got plenty more in him. He's trialing as good as he was before he injured himself, but, mate, it's a bit like playing first-grade football. It just takes a few games to get your timing right and get your rhythm back in, and I think that if we can keep him in one piece and everything keeps going, I think he'll keep improving with time.
Now, rounding out the quartet of your runners is Split Image. She's a 16-time winner. She won the Rockhampton Cup a couple of runs ago. Now, she was pretty good in finishing runner-up on Thursday night. How do you see her chances? She hasn't had any favours with the box draw. She's drawn the five.
Yeah, Tim, the box draw's not too bad with it because she's normally a pretty reliable beginner. She can run a section and she's a bit stronger in a racing these days. And mate, yeah, I never discount her because she's probably lived in the shadows of a brother 30 talks, but she's won the Vince Curry Wade and she won the Group 3 Gold Coast Cup up here last year. She ran the Rocky Cup three starts back and the whole idea of that going to Rockhampton was to sort of just spark her back up again. She went off for a little while, a few starts back, and we talked about retirement and that, but the Rockhampton Cup was coming up and we've got the Townsville Cup actually in a fortnight's time. So we persevered and just tried a bit of travelling with her and a few different things, and it has. It's worked. Her run on Thursday night was good. And like I said, her and Opal Nera, they're sort of probably 29.90 is going to pull them up. I don't think they've got much more in the tank to go quicker, but, mate, they've got early speed to their thing, and that's a massive thing. So, mate, if she happened to pop out and lead and you run 29.90, you only need a little bit of trouble behind you and you can pinch these races. So, no, mate, I couldn't be happy with my four chances, and they're all a definite chance. It's a pretty open final up here, and because we get two reps, we get two goes at it, which is just lovely. So, no, they'll be there hopefully Thursday night.
Now, while I'll have you, Fast Times, your boom sprinter, he dropped a pin muscle a few days out from the Maturity Classic back last month. How's he coming along? How's his recuperation?
Yeah, really good, Timmy. Same like for most of your listeners. A pin muscle is not a major injury. It's just something that the dogs do. There's no rhyme or reason for it, really. But it's not a major one, and sort of it's coming along excellent, and he'll be galloping probably in about the next fortnight or so. Not tough galloping. It's more a timing issue. You don't want to push them too quick. You want to let it heal before you put too much pressure on them, sort of thing. But no, mate, he's ticking along, and so we're sort of looking, now towards the end of the year where he'll get his chance to go down, and hopefully if we can get back up to where he was and what he was doing, he's sort of a top-gun type of dog. So, no, mate, we've got big plans for him at the end of the year. And these things happen for a reason sometimes. It might be a blessing in disguise, just a little ease up, and he might come back better than ever. So, no, looking forward to that.
All right, Tony, you've got boxes 1, 2, 3, and 5 in the Queensland final. Which way are you leaning?
Mate, I'd probably lean towards the 1 and the 2. Like I said, jury's drawn lovely. The red box is always an advantage. And Opal Nera wants to use a little bit of the track out in 3. And Split Image wants to head to the rail a little bit. So the 4 dog was the fastest qualifier last week, and Mick Zemmett. So, mate, I'm really leaning towards jury or 30 talks. It's just a matter of how the race pans out.
Tony, all the very best on Thursday night in the big one.
Appreciate it, mate. Thank you very much. Look forward to hopefully seeing everyone up here for the final Friday week.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tony Brett, one of the country's leading conditioners. Now we head back to New South Wales and we head out to the Richmond Greyhound Club. General Manager Brad Adam is joining us on today's show. Morning, Brad.
Good morning, Tim. How are you?
Really well. Now, after the Richmond puppy auction was cancelled in 2016 due to issues outside the club's control, the puppy auction is back on track for this year and will be held in November.
Absolutely, Tim. November 26th, Sunday, November 26th for this year's auction. And you've just been talking to one of our best advertising marketing people ever. Tony Brett. Opal Nera, 30 Talks, Split Image, all Richmond Rich's dogs.
And 30 Talks won the inaugural running, and he's now won, I think, around $290,000 or $300,000 in prize money, purchased for maybe, what, $27,000, $28,000 from memory?
30 Talk, he actually went to $30,000. Mr. Twister also won this year's event. He's notched up over $250,000 in prize money. So what it's sort of telling you is that the Richmond Riches sale is the sale to come to. We get quality pups through the auction, and once again this year we hope to do the same. And look, the proof's in the pudding. As you mentioned earlier, the maturity final earlier this year also had two nominations in it with Fast Times and Opal Nera. Of course, Fast Times didn't get to the race. But the quality is definitely there, and hopefully this year, fingers crossed, the sale will be back bigger and better. The club this year, just obviously due to the issues that the industry has been through, Tim, at the moment our prize pool is guaranteed at $50,000. And then that will be, the club have reserved the right to alter that prize pool should the nominations exceed any of our expectations. You know, to be financially conscious, we didn't want to come out and say that we were going to have a $100,000 race if the numbers weren't there for the sale. So we have guaranteed a $50,000 prize pool, but if we get a whole heap of nominations through for the auction, then that prize pool will increase.
Now, nominations are open. Now, there's been a few changes how the auction will be run on the day too. Just tell us what the changes are.
Sure, Tim. So what we've broken the auction up into two tickets or two tiers. The first one is if you want to sell your pup through the auction, it's $100 to get your pup into the auction. The criteria for your pup is it must be born this year between January and June. So that's the criteria. So it's $100 for your pup to go in. What the club tried to do or is trying to do this year is also limit the buybacks or give owners the opportunity to put the dog through the series, so to speak, but without actually bringing them to the sale. So we are offering a $600 ticket for those trainers or breeders, owners, they want to put the dog into the system. Also, then it makes it eligible for the 2019 race series, which, as I mentioned earlier, they'll be running for $50,000 at this stage. So all those tickets, Tim, they need to be to the club by the 11th of September. So all nominations by the 11th of September will then formulate our catalogue for the auction to be held on the 26th of November.
Brad, anyone after any more details, go to richmondpuppyauction.com.au. All of the details on the puppy auction coming up in late November. It is great news for the industry that it is back on track, and really looking forward to it coming up later on the year. Thanks for joining us, Brad.
Thanks for your support. Thanks, Tim.
There we go, Cozzie. Brad Adam from the Richmond Greyhound Club. We thank him for coming onto the show. Neil Brown from AGRA, as well as Al Proctor and Tony Brett on today's Going Greyhounds. As I said earlier on the show, I'm off the interchange bench today. Disco Dave Carlson, the great man, the world traveller, he's back next Monday morning.
Terrific. Good on you, Tim. Good to catch up.
Thanks, Cozzie.